Welcome to the Aspen Chapel podcast with me, Nicholas Feasey. So because we're sort of welcoming Colette, who's gone already, and we're saying goodbye to Marissa and Scott, we've called this service Hello and Goodbye. And over the last month or so, we've been doing a series here in the chapel on friendship. Friendship being the deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that is mutually enriching. Deep support and encouragement to a mutually enriching end. And in this service, we've been looking at whether or not we have true friendship with the various elements of our lives, the different elements. You know, do we have true friendship as human beings with our planet? Do we have true friendship with each other? Do we have friendship with our bodies? Do we have a nourishing, supportive relationship with our minds? Do we have true friendship with our senses? Do we have true friendship with our death? I mean, these are important things. The whole idea of friendship is a huge topic. And this week, with the comings and goings, I want to talk a little bit about friendship with impermanence. The fact that things are changing all the time. And you may think that things right now are staying the same. But in fact, we are rotating with the Earth as it moves around the sun at an average speed of 67,000 miles an hour. So each of us is moving at 18.5 miles a second. But it doesn't really feel like that, does it? You feel everything is staying the same. We feel that we don't change. Yet, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the theme of pilgrimage, and I came across this quote from T.S. Eliot, who said, "Fare forward, you who think that you're voyaging. You are not those who saw the harbour receding or those who will disembark. You're not the same person that got on the boat in the first place, and you won't be the same person that got off the boat at the other end. In our journey of life, the person who sets out and the person who arrives will not be the same person as the one who travels." I mean, you know, for me, it's interesting to think that I'm not the same person as the person who first arrived in Aspen when I first met you, Marissa. I'm not that same person. I'm different. And again, I won't be the same person when I leave Aspen. I'll be a different person to the person that I am now. We always think of ourselves as being pretty much the same before and after a journey, but we're not. And to acknowledge that opens us to the change that in reality is always happening because nothing stays the same. In Buddhism, the doctrine of impermanence asserts that all of conditioned existence, without exception, is transient, effervescent, and inconstant. All temporal things, whether material or mental, are compounded objects in a continuous change of condition subject to decline and destruction. All physical and mental events are not metaphysically real. They are not constant or permanent. They come into being and they dissolve. So Buddhism has this whole, you know, shtick about the nature of impermanence. Everything is always changing. The cells in our bodies are changing. The people around us, the seasons, our circumstances, the weather, the news, the atmosphere, everything is in constant change. Marissa and Scott were here with us for many years, but soon they won't be here. This time last year, Colette was not even a twinkle in Matt and Claire's eye. Well, it may have been, actually. Now, she can probably wake the dead when she wants food. It's no wonder that we desperately try and cling on to anything that seems stable or the status quo to give us an illusion that we might be able to stop the incessant change in some way. But, you know, we can't. And if we get that, it gives us a chance to take a step back to a place where we can watch that change taking place. And the only way to get to that is to get to what T.S. Eliot calls the still point. To get to that still point. At the still point of the turning, this is Eliot, at the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is. The release from action and suffering, release from the inner and outer compulsion, yet surrounded by a sense of white light, still and moving. Time past and time future allow but a little consciousness. To be conscious is not to be in time. This is Eliot. But only in time can the moment in the rose garden, the moment in the arbour where the rain beat, the moment in the draughty church at Smokefall, only in time can that be remembered, involved with past and future. It's only through time that time is conquered. He's saying that we have to claim that still point in our lives and witness from that point of consciousness all the changes that are going on in the world. A point that is timeless. It's like, you know, I always think that, you know, you feel that time is, you know, you're walking through time. You know, you see everything changes and your body changes, things like that. But what if it was, rather than that, that we are the still point and the time is passing through us and we witness time as it passes through us? He's saying, Eliot, that in order to enjoy life, we have to participate in time as it passes through us, not to be unmoved by it, but still and fully embracing what comes our way. Only through time is time conquered. We have to join in with the changes so we can experience the sweetness of the arbour. You have to have time to smell the roses, to experience the change in your nostrils as the scents hit. To be in time, but not of time. To be in the world, but not of the world. To witness the impermanence and participate in it without fear of being carried away. Thich Nhat Hanh says, if you suffer, it's not because things are impermanent. It's because you believe things are permanent. When a flower dies, you don't suffer much because you understand that flowers are impermanent. But you can't accept the impermanence of your beloved one, and you suffer deeply when she passes away. If you look deeply into impermanence, you will do your best to make her happy right now, aware of impermanence. You become positive, loving, and wise. Thich Nhat Hanh says, impermanence is good news. Without impermanence, nothing would be possible. With impermanence, every door is open for change. Instead of complaining, we should say, long live impermanence. Impermanence is an instrument for our liberation. Impermanence. Change is an instrument for our liberation. Marissa and Scott leave us, but their whole new life opens up in front of them. Colette arrives, and boy, will we see her change in 10 years. Do you know, to not change is to be in prison. Think about it. With the same routine every day, with bars on the doors and windows so you can't get out, with the same people with you all the time, it's a wonder that we do so much to construct our own prisons of no change so that we feel we are somehow in control of the pace of change that is around us. But the thing is, we cannot control the pace of change. We try to stop change, to fix yourself. You know, we try to fix ourselves on the wheel of life to stop change, and then we're surprised when that wheel comes around and crushes us under it. No, we have to ride the wheel of life on a chariot of our own making, still on top as it drives through the different scenarios of our lives. Our job is to ride our lives and enjoy them as everything else changes. I won't go through it all, but I'm reading Ecclesiastes at the moment. For every season, there's a time for every matter under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to kill. It just goes on. There's a different time. It's the impermanence of it. We have to become fluid like water. As the Tao Te Ching says, nothing in the world is as soft and yielding as water. Yet for dissolving the hard and inflexible, nothing can surpass it. The soft overcomes the hard. The gentle overcomes the rigid. Everyone knows this is true, but few can put it into practice. Therefore, the master remains serene in the midst of sorrow. Evil cannot enter her heart because she has given up helping. She is the people's greatest help. True words seem paradoxical. Thanks for listening. If you feel moved to make a donation to the chapel, please go to aspenchapel.org. Thank you. And if you'd like to receive these podcasts regularly, subscribe to the Aspen Chapel through Apple, Google Play, YouTube, or any other outlet.